praying right there, I forgot that the sermon was the very first thing up. So I was gathering my Bible, folded things up, ready to step down, and I thought, oh yeah, I'm staying up. So we're doing this just wholly, totally different this morning. And God really has an interesting sense of timing because, one, about 2.5 months ago, we put this sermon order together, and today's sermon happened to be today, and then about a month ago, Tracy brought up the idea of doing something special for the Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So I took a look at the sermon list that was on my computer, and I found out that, or I was reminded that today's topic is on godliness and prayer. So the sermon for this morning, set about 2.5 months ago, was set on prayer, and prayer particularly by people who are godly, and then the component that prayer takes in the godly life, and it happened to be that that's what we were trying to accomplish this morning in a broader sense than just the sermon. But beyond that, this passage has some great pearls of wisdom in it. And if you read this passage, and if you're friends with people who went to the Legacy Ball, you might be putting together what is going on here. The Legacy Ball went on last night. I found out about it, I don't know, at some point. I didn't go. I don't even know if I was invited. I don't even know if I could go. I've never even thought about going, but I saw pictures of people, and the theme was bow ties and pearls. And so as I was studying this passage last night, Amy, Rachel, this is for you. Likewise, also the women should adorn themselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with pearls. Just saying, that's what it says. And if we're not careful, we will misuse this passage and think that this verse 10 or verses 9 and 10 deals more with how people are to dress than with what it's really about. And what it's really about is how we should pray, not about how we should dress. But we got to start in verse 1. We're in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, and we are going to jump into 2 weeks or 2 sermons, though I'm not going to be here next week, 2 sermons of very tenuous topics dealing with gender roles. And gender roles are easy to be offensive with. They are easy to misconstrue, and it's easy to make accidentally a hierarchy of superior and inferior instead of a differentiation of roles. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now, lest we misunderstand the point of the passage, it begins with prayer and it ends with prayer. So that should tell us that that is the point of the passage, right? If Paul is going to bookend this idea with prayer, then prayer becomes the main theme. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. That sounds like four ways to say the same thing. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. Well, first of all, what is the difference? Second, maybe we're not even familiar with the terms. Supplications could be spoken of differently. And the idea behind the supplications is desperate prayers. It's the kind of prayer that you pray when you are beyond yourself in a situation. It's the kind of prayer that you pray when you don't have what you need to accomplish a task. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough energy. You don't have enough knowledge. It's the kind of prayer that you pray just before you take a test. God, get me through. Don't let me fail. Right? It's a desperate pleading with God to cause something to happen. Not for you to cause something to happen, but for Him to cause something to happen. Prayers, on the other hand, so you've got this supplications or this desperate prayers made while driving down the road, while in your house, while with your friends, going on through life. Prayers, on the other hand, is the formal moment of praying. It's the on your knees before God, whether literally or figuratively, on your knees before God. It's the folded hands and the eyes closed, though I'd neither fold my hands nor close my eyes most of the time. But it's that putting yourself in a quieted position where you're not paying attention to the people around you. You're not thinking about other things. It's not a momentary or an immediate or a while life is going on, cry out to God for prayer. This is settling yourself, removing yourself, and spending time praying. And it's important to have both. It's important to have both of those because one is while life is going on, you look to God for your answers. You look to God for guidance. You look to God to cause things to happen. And too frequently, we don't. I mean, let's just be honest. Too frequently, we make decisions. We make plans. We make sure things are going to happen, and we don't involve God. We involve us. Now, God gave us a mind so that we could think through things, true. But He also gave us a spirit that understands that He understands more than we do. No matter how well we understand a thing, He understands it better. And so we have these supplications or desperate prayers, but we also have those times where we back out of life and we just pray, because just like any relationship, my wife and I have conversations on the fly that we haven't thought about or prepped at all. We're going on through life, and normally it goes like this. Brock, did you do? Oh, no, I didn't. Seems to be the mode of operations in our home. Did you get the pacifier for Noah? Oh, I forgot. Did you wash the dishes? No. Right now, I hope none of you were to see my house. And then I found out this morning, it's that moment of, I had one of those moments of supplication. My wife was going to be home just before 2 o'clock this afternoon so that I could take the kids and go to the play, which meant that I had time between when church ended and she got home. And then she texted me after I got here, hey, I'll be back in time for lunch, which meant there's no time between the end of the service and when she comes home, which means the things that I left in the house that I was going to clean up before she got home will not be cleaned up. And we will have conversations on the fly. They will be good conversations. She understands that my goal was that nobody died. 3 days, nobody died. We did well, right? No, it will be good conversations. But you have those. We all do. Conversations that just spring up as you go through life. But you also have times where you take your wife out on a date so that you can get away from your kids. I love you guys, but we do it so that we can get away from our kids, so that you can sit in a restaurant, ignore everybody else, and talk. Which is why I particularly don't like going to restaurants that have TVs. Because I get distracted, and all of a sudden I don't spend the time with my wife, that dedicated, detached from everything else sort of time that I should. So that's the difference between supplications or desperate prayers and formal praying. But you're to have both. Just like in any relationship, you have both. First of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Intercessions are simply praying for somebody else. A prayer of intercession will never mention yourself. Or it's no longer a prayer of intercession. It's not a bad prayer, but a prayer of intercession is praying for somebody else, understanding their desperate need for Christ. And prayers of thanksgiving for what God has done for you. Why? So we're to do these things. We're to pray for the kings and those in high position, but also for all people. Why? Why are we to do this? It's really quite simple. And Paul tells us the answer. We do it so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Now we're to the godliness idea. So he starts with prayer. Here's the kind of prayer you're supposed to pray, the kind of life of prayer you're supposed to lead. Why? So that you can have a life that is peaceful and dignified, godly in every way. Prayer is a fundamental component of that. But it's so easy for us to forget. So easy for us to go through life not praying at all. Go through life not either having supplications, desperate prayers, not having formal times of stepping back from the world to speak just to God, times of praying for other people, or times of giving thanks for what God has done. When we do those things, it helps us lead to a quiet life and a godly life. It's interesting to me that we're to pray and have this peaceful, quiet life for a personality that likes tumultuous situations. I like the hecticness of chaos. But this calls us to something different. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't lead a busy or productive, or whatever life. But disobedience isn't mentioned in here. Then he says, for there is one, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of what is true. And what is true in this moment, what Paul is pointing to, is the truth of one God and one Jesus. One God and one mediator between man and God, and that being Jesus. One mode, one way to heaven. That's the truth that must be grasped. And he says, for this I was appointed. So you've got Jesus paying a ransom for people, God wanting people to be saved, and a message that leads to truth. And that's what Paul was appointed a preacher of, the truth of the gospel. And now he comes back to prayer. I desire then that in every place the men should pray. So women, you're off the hook. No. No, because he's going to come back to women. And this is where we're going to call it the fundamental theology of people gets mistaken by verse breakings. So he starts, the men should pray, and then we forget that verse 9 starts with likewise. Likewise what? Likewise, this is how the women should pray. He's making a parallel two different roles, one that's men, one that's women. They're both doing the same thing. They are both praying. And he then lays out how we are to pray. But we make this mistake. We say, oh, men should pray, so it should just be the men who pray. Oh, and women are to dress like this, as though it's detached from how the men should pray. And the men should pray as though it's detached to how the women should be. But they're not detached at all. They're not even different sentences. I desire that in every place the men should pray. How? Lifting holy hands. What? Why? Why would you do this? They're to do it without anger or quarreling. Likewise, also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, in modesty, not in this. Why? Because it depicts our position and attitude before God. Somebody raises their hands for what? Surrender. That's at least part of what's going on here. And that's particularly why it's spoken to men. Guys, one of our fundamental problems is that we think we are stronger, more capable, more able than we ever, ever were or ever intended to be. We think that we can affect change that we want to make. We think that we can cause things to happen. We can plan by brute force, by force of mind, or by a mix of the two. We can cause things to happen. And Paul says, no. Men, you're supposed to pray in a state of surrender. Now, there's more to it. You could see this as an act of worship. You could see people raising their hands as a lot of different things. One of them is an emotional expression of who they are. You go to football games, people wave their hands all the time. But that's what's going on, a position of surrender from us to God, lifting holy hands. Surrendering who we are to who He is. Not trying to be strong, but intentionally being weak. Intentionally being men who give ourselves up to one who is stronger, better, more capable than us, though it will make us less significant. So when you see it that way, and he then says, likewise, women are to pray in this way, or likewise, women, don't adorn yourself in this way, but be modest. You could see the parallel. Now, I'm not saying women are more vain than men. I don't think that's true. But God made two genders of people. One is very attractive, and the other is men. Okay? So that's just the reality. It's easier. It's better. It's more innately who we are for ladies to be beautiful. And that's good. It's fantastic. That's part of how God created you, to be a beautiful representation of who He is. But there is a difference, and Paul's making it here, between beauty and sexuality. And our culture has this all messed up. We think that they are the same, but they are not. Beauty is something wholly different. And the way women should pray then becomes wholly different. They are to be modest. And that doesn't mean modest. It's not really a sexual term in this moment. Because he's going to talk about how much gold, pearls, fine apparel you should have. This is saying you shouldn't try to flaunt wealth or beauty. When you stand before God praying, who is supposed to have the attention? Just think about that for a moment. It's just a logical question. When you stand before God praying, who is supposed to receive the attention? If you say you, you are wrong. All of the attention is to go to God. So don't draw it to yourself by trying to make yourself the center of attention with how you look. It does not mean, we could go into all sorts of anthropological things that went on in this history of time as to what braided hair meant, what gold signified, what pearls were about. And it has to do mainly with prostitution. That's what culturally was going on, but that's not the point. What's the point? What is supposed to be the marker of a woman who is a godly woman? Prayer. And then this. Don't adorn yourself with this and this, pearls, costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. So it's saying, let what you do speak for who you are. And that's about prayer. It's a good lesson for life, but it's about prayer. Men, you are to pray in a way that shows surrender before Jesus. Women, you're to pray in such a way that the focus is not on you, but on Jesus. It's the modes of prayer for both people. Again, there are other lessons to be learned. Using, ladies, your bodies to be sexual enticements to people or to draw attention to yourself, that's wrong. Men, to use your strength or position so as to show that you are the one who has power and control, that is wrong. Those are life lessons out of this passage, but this is about prayer. When we go to prayer here in just a few moments, put yourself in that position. A position that says, this is not about me. A position that says, if I want to be like Jesus, then I am going to make supplications. I'm going to make desperate prayers to God to affect desperate situations. I am going to formally back myself out of life so as to pray just to Him. I am going to intercede for people and never mention myself. And I'm going to give you thanks for who you are. Drawing and pointing all of the attention to you, none of the attention to me. That is prayer that shows godliness. That is prayer that leads to a peaceful, dignified, godly life. But it's too frequently not how we pray. Let's pray. God, you are the one who deserves glory and honor. You are the one who deserves praise. And Lord, we come to you now on behalf of the people that we will be praying for around this world. And Lord, we ask that you would glorify yourself in this moment. We ask that you would cause us to see and understand you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And it is in your amazing and holy name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer and